Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. So good to see you. Praise the Lord that the Lord has made this day. He's given us the breath that we drew when we stepped off the side of our beds this morning. And it is because He lives that we can be here today to worship Him. I'm Philip Shepherd. We currently are serving at a church in North Carolina. I'll talk with you a little bit later on as the morning progresses. But it's not about me this morning, is it? Amen? It's about Jesus Christ and the victory that we have in Him. So would you stand and let's sing together.
First-time visitors, would you please find the visitor's card in the pew racks and fill it out for us. That way we'll be able to contact you and be able to minister to you. And if you don't want to fill it out, then we'll pray for you and maybe you'll fill it out next week. We have a few housekeeping deals we need to do here. To show you that we really do care about visitors, immediately following the service, there's going to be a first impressions training. This is to train us better to how to connect with our visitors. And it's going to be held at the Hubbard Park right after church today. If you signed up for that, please don't forget it. Second thing is, on Monday night is the Women on Missions meeting at 6:30 p.m. And I need to tell you that it will be held in the Friendship Sunday School classroom this week. Another exciting thing is coming up on November the 17th, a date night. This is for our students. We'll be taking care of your children while you go out on a date with your spouse. So that's important. Don't forget that, guys, please. And also, number four on my list is Christmas backpacks. We still have a few laying around, so somebody please pick those up. All the information, I'm not giving you details, I'm hitting the highlights. All those need to be back in by November 19th, and the details of how to do it are in the backpack. Also, there's a lot of preparation going on for our Christmas musical, and it's in the bulletin to give you all the practice times coming up toward December the 10th. And then Wednesday nights. We don't ever want to forget about Wednesday nights. We have a special time here during the middle of the week that we can all come together. And there's something for everybody and something for all age groups. So I would encourage you, if you don't participate in that, to start participating and get involved. Are there any other announcements we need to touch on? Okay, here's my big job. On behalf of our Music Minister Search Committee, which is consisting of Jennifer Bland, Troy Boyette, Miriam Porter, and Jim Schumann. It is our pleasure today to introduce you. You've already seen him. Introduce you to Philip Shepherd and his wife, Carol, sitting on the end of the choir here. And he'll be leading us in music today. And he is the one, after all this time, he's our recommendation for our Minister of Music and Senior Adults. And we want to thank all of you for your prayers and for your patience as we've gone through this process. Of course, Philip has a passion for music, but in our dealings with him, we have learned that he loves the Lord, he loves people, he's a people person. He has a passion for ministry and for evangelism and reaching people for Christ. And so we just believe that if at the end of this service today that you agree with us and you confirm his nomination, that along with Brother Brandon leading us and Brother John, that God has put together a team of ministers that will equip us to accomplish great things here in Glenville and throughout the world. So I just pray that you will consider this, and let's have fun.
Amen. Thank you, Joe, and God bless you. Thank you. As I mentioned earlier, we are currently serving a church in North Carolina, but I'm a Georgia boy, and if the Lord were to call us back to Georgia, wow, what a blessing that would be. I was born in Walton County, Monroe, Georgia, which is a little cotton mill village up close to Athens. So I'm a huge, hope there are no Georgia Tech fans are going to vote against me today. But I'm a Bulldog fan to the bone because grew up there, born in, like I said, Monroe, Walton County, just close to Clark County. There was saved at the age of 10 years old. My mother and my father raised me in a godly church home, and I have been singing as far back as I have memory, and just love the Lord. I was baptized in the Alcove Mountain River in April, back when I was 10 years old, so I still remember how cold that water was. baptisms in the river still happen. I was one that was blessed to be able to be baptized in the alcove. At the age of 24, when I finished my first degree, bachelor's degree at Shorter College up in Rome, a good Baptist school there, I went into work, the business world, worked as a finance company assistant manager, manager up to district manager, was working in the finance industry about 7 years out of college, out of Shorter. And the Lord called me into full-time music worship ministry. The only caveat, only problem with that was, is I was at that time a 31-year-old, and I couldn't read music. I had been singing since I had breath, since I had memory. But it was a volunteer, like most of the folks here. They don't, probably a lot of them don't read music. That was me. But God called me into full-time worship ministry to do that, to stand before other musicians, like the incredible Miss Miriam and Miss Dottie, I would have to know the science of music. So I went back as a 31-year-old freshman and got my music degree at Clayton State University in South Atlanta, finished there. And then even though I was not finished with my schooling, it was a 4-year program because of theory. It's consecutive. You can't take sophomore theory until you finish freshman, etc. The church that I was serving went ahead and hired me full-time, and I've been in ministry now 32 years. The Lord has blessed me to serve in two wonderful, wonderful churches in Georgia, metro Atlanta area for a combined about 15 years, 16 years. And the Lord took us out to Phoenix, Arizona, Tempe, Arizona, First Baptist Church of Tempe, Arizona, which is where the Arizona State University, that's their big claim to fame. And then the Lord has had us over in North Carolina, brought us back to the southeast, but not Georgia, about 4 years ago, and I'm serving at a church there. And my beautiful wife is incredibly talented. She's a Sunday school teacher. She's that too. She's a Bible study teacher for ladies. She's a special education school teacher, certified K-12 through Georgia. She is a TIFT college graduate. Yeah. There are not many of them around, y'all. There's not many of them around. But we got two of them in the building. She's everything to me. We have two grown children. We are empty nesters. Hallelujah. 31-year-old boy who is still in Phoenix. He stayed out there. That's where he finished up his high school, so he grew roots there. And so he stayed in Tempe Mesa, Phoenix area. He's 31, single. And our daughter, Lydia, is in the United Arab Emirates, living in the UAE. Which is, if you've ever heard of Dubai or Abu Dhabi, she lives right between those two emirates in the emirate of Sharjah. And she's teaching English to little Arab kids because they're big, big, big over there in learning English. It's the business language of the world. And of course, UAE is a big consumer of tourism with Dubai and Abu Dhabi. So that there's a love for teaching English. So she's been over there 5 years, 6 years, 5 years. She finished her master's degree over there on a full scholarship and went directly to work teaching English when she finished school there. So that's our family. My background, again, just so proud to be here. As I told the choir yesterday, I'm reminded of, I'm an old Southern boy, grew up with hee-haw and all that. And I remember Minnie Pearl saying, "I'm so proud to be here." I don't have a hat with a little dangly sign on it or a little price tag on it. But I am just a humble servant of God. Nothing special about Philip Shepherd. It's all about Jesus Christ. Just want to be where he wants me to be. Want to serve where he wants me to serve. Would love for Carol and I, wherever the Lord plants us in our last church, I would love to spend the rest of our days and go to be with Jesus from that city. And I love Glenville. It's a beautiful little town. I've already fallen in love with it and the surrounding little towns. I'm an Army veteran, so hopefully Brother Jim would help me get on the base privileges, maybe. Just love my country, love serving, love making relationships, building relationships. And as much as the music ministry is important to me, even more or as much important is people relationships and being a true pastor like you have already. Fallen in love with Brandon. What a magnificent man of God he is, and it would be an honor serving here if the Lord were to keep us here. But let's proceed now, if we could, to worship our Lord. That's what it's all about here today. Stand with me, if you would. He is so holy, deserves the very best that we have. If this is a new song to you and you don't know it well, sing it with us when you can. A thousand generations falling down in worship, sing a song of ages to the Lamb. All who've gone before us, and all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy song forever.
We'll sing the song forever and amen. And the angels cry, holy, our creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy. Holy forever.
we love you, Jesus. How we thank you for a chance to proclaim your holiness. How we love you this day. We give this day to you. As we continue worshiping, you may be seated. If the Lord were to draw us here, call us here, you would see a lot of different kinds of worship. You would not just see, so if you love hymns, stay around. If you love older contemporary songs, stay around. If you like new contemporary songs, hang with me. If you love Southern gospel, say amen.
Amen.
I'm glad to hear at least a few amens there as we continue worshiping. This is where I heard my mother and my father playing around the house old LP, 33 LPs with groups like the Gold City, the Florida Boys, the Imperials, a little more modern taste, and then, of course, now the Gaither Vocal Band. I love Southern gospel music, so I hope that's okay with you. We're going to sing a Southern gospel song, praise the Lord, this morning.
His life's blood for even me. Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. Then came the Savior, my blessed Savior, to save the poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary, and his hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven, he gave his life's blood for even me. Death's chilly waters I'll soon be crossing, his precious hand will lead me safe home, but then I'll join the car. Nail-scarred, his side was riven,
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good? God's so good, isn't he? Just think about it. He had nails through his hands and his feet for you and for me. Don't ever forget that. Young people, just, I know it's a terrible, hard vision for you to think about, but that's what he did on the cross for you and for me. Not only that, a crown of thorns, hard, long thorns pressed into his brow for you and for me. Mocking him as the king. He was indeed the king of all kings. And then, of course, that body that was broken so horribly for us on the cross. We love you, Jesus. How we love you. As we continue worshiping together, there's nothing sweeter than hearing God's people fellowship with one another. So would you stand and spend a moment or two fellowshipping with one another? Amen. That's good. That's good worship. Good fellowship. As we continue worshiping, our living Lord is another newer song. Not brand new. It's several years old. In case you don't know it, listen on. Join in when you can. Everybody together now.
How great a chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not
Ooh, that's so true.
In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving
Jesus.
The work is finished. The end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Oh, praise his name in the house. Who could imagine?
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken, I am forgiven.
Praise the Lord.
Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Oh, hallelujah.
Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Every chain, there's
sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
Oh, sing that again, church.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim. Yours is a victory. Oh, hallelujah.
And the one who's had
me. Oh, hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
One more time, church.
Oh, hallelujah. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
Pray with us if you would.
Almighty Father, Lord, you are our living hope, Father. And we just thank you for bridging that gap from a holy, righteous God that you are, Lord, to an old sinner like us, Father. Lord, we thank you for eternal life. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that you bestow upon us each and every day to get us through the day, Father. Lord, as we come to this time of the service, we ask you to bless these gifts as well as the givers into the ongoing of our service here on earth, Father. Amen.
God is making.
Amen. Well, church, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. That's where we will be today. As you're opening up, I'm going to take the moment of pause to drink some water. If you're not there yet, don't worry. I still have a couple introductory thoughts. So today, as we are in Colossians chapter 3, there's something that we have to talk about. For those of you who have read ahead, you're thinking, oh no, the pastor's talking about something today that's going to get me in a fight with my wife or my spouse. If you don't know what I'm talking about yet, go look at verse 18. I'm going to go over something today, and you're going to go, oh, you really got to talk through that? Yes, here's what you need to know. Anytime we come up to anything in the Bible that may rub us the wrong way or that we have to struggle through, we don't avoid it. We work through it. That's how we become better Bible scholars. That's how we become better understanding of what God has given us. And that's how we work through our faith. Even last night, Grace and I got to have dinner with Jerry, Joey, Philip, and Carol. And one of the things Carol was talking about was she was telling some of her students, when you're struggling, you're growing. When we struggle through the scriptures, through hard to understand passages, through passages where we go, does that really matter for me? Of course it does. All of the Bible is profitable. All the Bible is vital to our faith. And so let's struggle through this together and let's grow together in this. So in just a moment, I'm going to read through the entirety of Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, through Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Then we'll pray, and then we'll go back and dig into the scripture a little bit deeper, okay? So here it is, Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. You can follow along on the screen, or you can grab the Bible in the pew in front of you. It matches the translation I'm reading out of, the Christian Standard Bible. Verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you are also called, in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with a gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged. Slaves, obey your human masters in everything. Don't work only while being watched as people pleasers, but work wholeheartedly, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong he has done, and there is no favoritism. Chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, deal with your slaves justly and fairly, since you know that you too have a master in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your mercies that are new every single morning. Thank you for allowing us to experience that. God, this morning we sang songs about the freedom we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, and we sang songs about singing praise to you forever and ever and ever and the sacrifice you made for us. Lord, isn't it worth humbling ourselves just a little bit to follow your example? Father, I pray that we will not look at today's passage with arrogance or pride or jest. But Lord, we want to serve you and serve you faithfully. So please prepare our hearts to do so. Lord, whatever you have to do, whatever you have to say, please, Lord, have your way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's point number one today. I hope you're taking notes to follow along. If you didn't grab a handout, don't worry about it. Write this down. It's real simple. Not too many words. Number one is this. Let the peace of Christ rule. Let the peace of Christ rule. Let's talk about what this word rule means. So when I was in elementary school, we would go around and there was this song we sang. Boys rule, girls rule. Very simple. And we would say to the other guys, you rule, you rock, you're awesome, you rule. What did we mean by saying you rule? Well, we were using it in a positive way, of course. We were saying you rule, like you're at the top of the food chain. You're something that people look up to. You're something that people look forward to. You rule. Here's how Merriam-Webster would define rule. Would be defined as authority. Authority. To rule is to have authority. To rule is to have supersedence above everything else, to be above something else. So now let's look at the scriptures here. Let's go back to verse 12 in chapter 3, please. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So let's talk about this for just a minute. We are looking toward this main idea to let the peace of Christ rule. How do you know that? Well, one, I gave you point number one. But two, we see it there in Scripture in just a couple verses, but we got to get there first. So now we know the main premise of what we're reading is to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. So here it is, verse 12. Therefore, you guys remember, I teach you this every single week. If we see therefore, we got to ask, what is it there for? It's just good biblical scholarship to ask, what does this mean? Why is it there? So here is what verse 11 says. And I know we don't have this. That's okay. I didn't do it. In Christ, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all in all. There's no distinction between us because Christ is our all in all. Therefore, as God's chosen holy ones, or God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. What does it mean to put on something? Well, we kind of talked about this last week, right? We're not putting on a Halloween costume that we can just take off whenever we don't feel like being that character anymore. Last week, I told you for Halloween, my son dressed as an avocado. I don't currently call my son an avocado. Halloween's over, right? I don't look at him and go, oh, you're still the cutest little avocado I ever did see. I mean, he's still the cutest little boy I've ever seen, but he's not an avocado. I'm not going to try to make some guacamole out of him, right? It'd be a little unethical. But we know with all clarity that this little boy is not an avocado. When we do not genuinely put on the attributes of the Holy Spirit, people know we're just wearing a costume. People know, oh, you're putting on compassion, but you can take it off whenever you want. This idea to put on compassion, is listed in verse 12, to put on these attributes, is not like we're decorating ourselves and adorning ourselves with jewelry. It's more of the idea that it becomes who we are. It becomes definitive of who we are. So as God's chosen ones, as holy people called by God, we are to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Which means that we are not to take it off. Because the only time we'd be able to take it off is when we are no longer God's chosen ones. And let me ask this question. Can we no longer be God's chosen ones? No. No, in fact, what the scripture says is Christ is all in all. He has been all in all for all time. If you are held within the hands of God, nothing can rip you out. Nothing can pull you away. Nothing can pluck you. Nothing can remove this outfit you've put on. Because it has become who you are. It's structural. It's integral to who you are. Putting on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. This word bearing is interesting. There's another scripture I want to tell you about. It's a scripture, I can't think of where it is right off the top of my head. Ask me later, I'll know it. In this moment, I don't remember it. But there's a scripture that talks about how we are to endure sound teaching. Right? It has this idea that when you're hearing good teaching, there's almost, you have to endure for it. You kind of have to brace yourself for it. So on Sunday morning, when you start feeling a little sleepy and you start yawning while I'm preaching, that's how I know it's good. You're enduring through what we're talking through. To bear with one another holds this same idea that we are enduring in the midst of our relationships with others. Have you ever thought, maybe you have, and again, want to be mindful here. When I was growing up and I went to a men's Bible study, a bunch of older men, I'm not going to say how old they were because if you're older than them, then you're going to go, I'm not old. We're not going to disclose ages, but it was a group of older men. They actually referred to themselves as the cranky old men. And I would sit in Bible study with them, and they would all talk about their ball and chain wives. Grace, I love you. You lift burdens from my shoulders. And I remember growing up in this time where it was like, man, I'm going to dread being married one day. I mean, they're making jokes, you know, oh, I can't do this anymore. I had to hide a Snickers under my underwear in the drawer. I guess that explains the stains. I just thinking through. I'm trying to think through. Why in the world is this perspective that our marriage is going to be this dreadful thing? I want to remind you what point number one was, right? It's to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And we talked about putting on kindness and compassion and humility, bearing with one another. Now, this is not specifically within context of our marriage, but it does include it. Have you ever thought about your relationships as having to endure in a relationship? Maybe in your marriage, but maybe not with others. Enduring in a relationship is not a negative thing. By the way, I don't encourage anyone to call your spouse a ball and chain. It's not very nice. Go get them flowers instead. Someone remind me to go get Grace flowers after this. To endure is a positive thing. It means this. When you wrong me, I'm still with you. When you harm me, I'm still with you. When you sin against me, I am still with you. Now think about this in the context of all our relationships, and think about the ultimate demonstration we have. Who have we truly only sinned against? God. And God bears with us, endures us constantly sinning against him, and loves us anyway. And not in an unhealthy, toxic kind of love, but in a love that says, I forgive you in spite of, not because of. A love that says, I will endure with you, I will bear with you. Because Christ has forgiven us, so also we should forgive one another. This is going to hold a lot of relevance once we get to verse 18. Believe me. In all of your relationships with your spouse, your relationship with your friends, with fellow church members, with church staff, whoever, we must bear with one another, forgiving one another. There are going to be times, in fact, over the last couple days, John and I got to go to Panama City together for a little retreat, kind of vision casting about Impact Camp, which is Georgia Baptist student camp, and just talking through that. On the way back, I was just sharing with John, I said, I know there's going to come a time where I say something that hurts you. But I'm really excited to know that I'm 100% confident we can work through that if that happens. We are always going to say things and do things that hurt one another. But the command is this, to bear with one another. And how are we even able to bear with one another? It's because we have put on compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness. We have put on these things. And it's not an act. It's not a facade. It's who we are. So when someone does wrong us, we stop thinking, I need to be vindicated. I need to be the one that's right. And we start thinking, how in the world can we reconcile what was broken? Again, just to remember what reconciliation is things started together, broke apart, and now have come back together. When we endure, what we're really saying is, I am willing to reconcile with you. Since God has reconciled with us, let us also reconcile with each other. Let us bear with one another. Verse 14. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. This sounds familiar, doesn't it? I mean, I talk about unity in Christ all the time. All the time. How do we have unity in Christ? We love each other, but it's not a phony, hey, how's it going, love. It's not a phony, oh, you know, I'll still talk with them when I see them, I'll be cordial. That's not love. Love is this, sending your son to the cross to die for the sins of someone else. Now, I'm not asking you to do that. It would be really hard for me to do that for you. But what I am saying is, since that was done for us, can't we be just a little more forgiving and a little more compassionate? Can't we be just a little more understanding that when people wrong us, maybe they're not the scum of the earth, but they're in a different part in their faith journey just like we are? If I could even pretend that I was perfect all the time, there's no telling how arrogant I would be. Grace and I have this joke when someone compliments me, she goes, oh, he's going to get a big head. She's exactly right. I'm one of the most egotistical people I know, if not kept in check. That's why I got married, right? But we need people who are going to keep us in check. We need people to bear with us, endure with us. We put on love. We put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. We are all united in this one guaranteed aspect, and it's that Jesus Christ died for us all. Jesus is all in all, so there's not barbarian and Greek, there's not Jew and Gentile, there's not circumcised and uncircumcised, there's Christ, and he is all in all. And since that's the case, let us put on these qualities that honor God and be united in love above all. Verse 15, and let the peace of Christ, to which you are also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. The question I ask myself is, how much authority, right? Because we talked about how this word rule means authority. How much authority does God's peace actually have in my heart? Here's what I mean by this. If I am anxious about something, how much authority does God's peace have in my heart? Do I think about God's peace or do I think about the issue? What consumes my thoughts? Is it God's peace or is it my problems? What consumes my well-being, right? Let's break this down a little bit, right? Our happiness is based off what's happening around us. Same root word, hap, it means external circumstances, etc. Our happiness is based on what's happening around us. But is what's happening around me totally affect my well-being? Or does the peace of Christ? That's not an easy question, by the way. That's not a question any of us are going to get perfect all the time. But we've got to ask ourselves, God, what authority do you have in my life? And if the answer is none or very little, let's work at increasing that a little bit. Give God a little more authority in your life. Let's look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Here's point number two today. Let the word of Christ dwell. Let the word of Christ dwell. To dwell means to make home in. So here's an example. Last night, Joey and Jerry Futch invited us over for some chili and to watch the dogs, along with Philip and Carol. Checks out, he's a real dogs fan. He was getting really upset sometimes. And while we were there, Jerry would not stop bringing me chili and sweet tea. What a blessing. But I mean, I was at home there, right? I felt very welcomed. I mean, I could not so much as change Grayson's diaper without her offering to put a blanket under it. Let the word of Christ dwell. What does this mean? You let God's word at home in your heart. It's the same thing we just talked about. You're letting the peace of Christ rule. You let God's word dwell in your heart. You make it at home. You be hospitable to God's word. Here's what I'm saying about this. There's some times when I want to do what I want to do, and someone will reference scripture to me, and I'll go, eh. It's just the reality. Even last week, John and I were talking. I was venting about something, and he said, brother, why don't you meditate on this passage? Y'all, it's the passage I preached last week. I was like, I meditated on it already. But it was genuine, right? What's the purpose? Because where God's word speaks, God speaks. So if you want God to speak into your life, if you're going, God, I need to hear your voice, but you're not reading the Bible, it's like you're covering your ears going, la, 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 I can't hear you. You know what I would call that? That's like a type of tantrum. Like, I dread the day that my son Grayson comes in the room and I'm like, hey, man, don't forget to pick up your toy. And he just walks off. Or he goes, eh, you know, whatever. Speaking of my son, and I talk about him a lot, you guys know this. Just last night, I went to change him, and he just scratched my arm for no reason. 13 months old, just scratching my arm. What do? You can't hit him. I mean, you kind of can, but he's 13 months. So, you know, then I'm getting in his face. I'm going, no, no. What do you think his reaction is? I mean, he's just laughing at me. Let me ask this question. Not to make light of taking in God's word, but imagine you're trying to change a baby's diaper who's trying to scratch your lunch. There are times when we're changing Grayson's diaper, that's the easiest thing in the world. He just sits there, he's nice and happy. I mean, he might as well just have his arms crossed. Dad, do whatever you have to do. And there are times where he's scratching and clawing and kicking and he's grabbing the plastic and he does this move where there's nothing in his hands, but he puts it in his mouth and he starts chewing and then you go, what are you eating? What did you grab? How did you manage to get something? There's nothing here. If there is something on the changing table, it's definitely not supposed to go in your mouth. I think sometimes we act that way with God's word. I think sometimes we're like, yeah, you know, I'm really receptive to this. I'll hear whatever you have to say. And then sometimes we're clawing and scratching and going, there's no way you're going to do this. Absolutely no way. I don't want to hear it. To let the word of God dwell in your hearts is to say, God, this place is like soft soil for you. God, this place is a warm place. God, I will bring all the chili and sweet tea I can, if it means you will make your home here. Let the word of Christ dwell. Verse 17. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. All right, here is the key passage of today. The key passage today is verse 17. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through. Everything we do is to and through and for Jesus. Everything. Right? Are we kind of in agreement here? That's what they're saying? So now let's go to verse 18. We saw verse 17. Everything we do is for Jesus. Verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. I want to let you in on a little bit of the dynamic Grace and I have. Now, Grace and I have been married for just over 4 years. Yeah, just over 4 years. And one of the things that we were really mindful about, so here's kind of my upbringing. I didn't have a dad around. There was no one to show me, hey, here's how a healthy, godly family dynamic works. Didn't have that model. I had other men in my church, other families in my church that I was able to watch and learn from. I didn't have that model. Wasn't there. So when we got married, we were talking through and figuring out, how do we want our family to run? What is our understanding of this passage that husbands are the authority and that the wives submit to their husbands? What does this look like and how does this flesh out in our marriage? And let me tell you what I've come to. My understanding of this is that Grace as my wife is my equal in every way. But we serve different roles. And there are going to be a lot of things that I empower Grace to make the decision on because she is worthy and capable of making decisions for our family. When it comes to things with our baby, there's no one in the world I trust more than her. I trust her more than myself. By the way, dads, this importance coming up, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let's stop being painted as bumbling doofuses who can't take care of our children. We're godly fathers, and we need to be. But I'll get there. Wives, submit yourself to your husband. What does this look like? I want to share a story. There was a couple churches ago. My senior pastor and I was serving as a student pastor. Got in a pretty big argument. Grace had said something a little sarcastic to one of the students. It's her personality. It's my personality, too. The students were all laughing about it. One of the students went and complained to his or her parents. Parents went and complained to the pastor. Pastor calls me in. And essentially, he tells me I need to tell Grace to shut her mouth. To which I said, watch yourself, Pastor. And we get into this big argument, and here's kind of how it ends. He says, Brandon, I don't think we can work together. I think our time is done. So I go home, and I am panicking. And I'm expecting Grace to say, how in the world are we going to pay rent? How in the world are we going to do this? How in the world are we going to do this? And I go home and I sit next to her and I go, I got let go today. I explained the situation to her, told her I was trying to honor her, be an advocate for her, that I wasn't going to let someone else tell my wife how to act. And you know what she said? She said, okay, let's start looking for something else. Just the biggest pillar of strength in my life besides Christ himself. No one has been alongside me the way Grace has been alongside me. No one has been strong for me. Now listen, where we go to church, we let it be a collective decision. But if Grace's opinion was that we shouldn't go to church, I'm going to use my authority as given in Scripture. Say, our family's coming to church. Our family's worshiping the Lord. Our family's doing this. When it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to raising up our families, when it comes to husbands, hear me out on this. Husbands, how many of us have prayed for the well-being of our wife? How many of us have prayed for growth in their faith of our wives? How many of us have prayed for our wife? Lord, I pray that you would lead me as I lead them. If the answer is you haven't, start right now. Do it right now. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter toward them. You remember how I was saying the old ball and chain? Guys, if you've made that joke, hey, good for you, I would start repenting. Let us not talk about our wives that way. No one in the world should speak better about my wife than me. And no one in the world should speak better about me than my wife. No one. No one will be a bigger advocate for my wife than I am because I am her husband and God has blessed me with that position. It's not that I am ruling over her or having authority over her. It's that the role I have is to lead her as God leads me. So this isn't like I could come home and say, hey woman, do the dishes. Telling you right now, if I do that, we're throwing hands. But if I say, Grace, I feel like God's leading us to go to Glenville, Georgia, that's not something we take lightly. There is God-given authority in those conversations. Verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Children, let's give a caveat, okay? We are all children, no matter how old we get, okay? The command to honor your mother and father doesn't stop when you move out, and it doesn't stop when you get married. It doesn't just go away. It's an everlasting commandment, honor your mother and father. I'll say this, though. If your mother and father are telling you to do things that go against what the Scripture says, do not obey them. Honor your mother and father, do what you can, live your time. But honor God above all. And if you can honor God by honoring your mother and father, do so. But if honoring your mother and father leads to dishonoring God, absolutely not. That's all I said about that. Fathers, verse 21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged. Another way to say this is don't anger your children. I do this thing with my dog. Classic, I'm talking about my dog again, right? I do this thing with my dog where when he starts getting excited with me, I just stiff arm him. Just a real good, solid shove across the bed. If he falls off the bed, oh well. If he falls into grace, oh well. Just good, solid shove. And that's kind of how we play, right? I agitate him. And even last night, Grace and I are laying there going to sleep, and she goes, the dog is standing on my shoulder, dropping his, like, rubber toy in my face. To which I am just trying not to sin in that moment. And I'm going, get off of me. And she goes, I just don't understand. The dog doesn't do this to me. Do you know why? It's because I agitate the snot out of our dog. I shove our dog. I play with our dog. I push him off the bed. I snatch things out of his mouth while he's eating. I do all of it. And so he gets me back. Fathers, and this also goes to mothers, don't agitate your children. Yes, it's okay to play. It's okay to make jokes here and there. But you've got to be very mindful that the influence you have in your child's life is everlasting. There are things you do right now that may seem little that are going to create a big impact for them down the road. Here's an example. And this is going a little more serious, okay? I told you my father wasn't really around. I was about 8 or 9 years old. I met him for the first time. And he took me to a Pizza Hut buffet and took me to see the movie. I think it was Coraline or something like that. Which, what a weird movie to see with your estranged father. And while we were there, he was asking me questions like, so what do you think you want to do with your life? I don't know, Dad, I'm 8. I don't even know your name, right? How am I supposed to know? I don't even know what kind of pizza I'm getting yet. And then there's definitely a sense in which I could tell he had no idea how to talk to me, right? Dads, let me be really clear. And I'm not saying this as judgmental. I'm not saying this as trying to be a divine voice in your life. No. We have just got to be better fathers. We have got to be fathers who love our children enough to be present in their lives, to speak into their lives, to not just be the disciplinarian, like, oh, you better wait till your dad gets home, but to be the one who is also encouraging our children, pouring into our children. I mean, no one should tell my son he's more loved than I do. Maybe Grace, but it's going to be close. Here's another thing. A couple months ago, Grace and I tried to figure out who's changed more diapers in his lifetime. Some of you are going, oh, that's an easy one. No, it's not. Dad changed a lot of diapers. I'm not trying to brag on myself, but what I am trying to say is because my father was so absent in my life, I'm going to be present as much as I can. I'm not going to love changing every diaper. Even last night, he peed on me. But praise God that my son has a father who's present and cares about him to do that. We have got to be better about this. And this family dynamic, again, think about this. What's the original sentiment? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. If we let the peace of Christ rule and we put on these things that we should put on and endure with one another, then this all should come fairly naturally. Verse 22. Slaves, obey your human masters in everything. Don't work only while being watched as people pleasers, but work wholeheartedly, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ. Here's point number 3 today. And we are coming up on a close here. Point number 3 is you serve the Lord Christ. There's a lot we could talk about here. honestly, the bells ringing makes me a little insecure about my time. But here's what's most important. In your family dynamics, husbands, wives, children, parents, masters, slaves, and again, totally different context than what we're living in. Just because the Bible says, hey, this is how you should treat slaves, doesn't mean the Bible condones slavery. It's just saying, given how the world is, let us at least treat people well. The whole point of it is this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts because you serve the Lord Christ. And when you serve people, your wives, your husbands, your children, your parents, your parents, your bosses, your employees, however we want to phrase that, you're not just serving people, you're serving Jesus when you do that. You serve the Lord Christ when you do this. So here's the example. If I'm talking about how my wife is a ball and chain and I can't stand being around her, what I'm really saying is I don't care to serve her and I don't care to serve Christ. Verse 25 and then verse 1 of chapter 4. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong he has done, and there is no favoritism. Masters, deal with your slaves justly and fairly, since you know that you too have a master in heaven. Have you ever thought about Jesus as your master? Some of us have, right? There's an old discipleship study called Master Lock. You know, we probably thought about that. Some of us used to use this language a lot. We kind of strayed from this language. But here's what having a master means. It means you have someone who is in control of your life, and when they say to do something, you do it. I want to remind you of the scriptures. God tells Abram, go to the land, I will show you. And Abram goes. God tells Moses, do this, and Moses does that. God tells Moses, do this, and Moses doesn't do that at first, but then ends up doing it. Time and time and time again throughout scripture, we're going to see that God is going to give commands, and we have an option. Praise God for free will, kind of. We have an option. God, I can honor you by following your voice, or I can dishonor you by not. And God has put us in several amazing roles. Husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, children, employees, employers, whatever it is. And in these, God has put you in that role. I am fully convinced that I am a dad because God has allowed me to be a dad. And I'm fully convinced I am a husband because God has called me to be a husband. I'm fully convinced I'm a pastor because God has called me to be a pastor. And in all of these things, I don't just serve you. I don't just serve Grace. I don't just serve Grayson. I serve the Lord. Let's shift our perspective. It's a lot easier to bear with one another when we don't think, you just didn't hear what she said to me the other day. And we start thinking, Jesus, you have forgiven me for a whole lot more than I've ever done. Or a whole lot more than anyone's ever done to me. So here's what's going to happen in just a moment. We're going to have our time of invitation. Brother John and I will be up at the front here. During this time, if you would like to place your trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible says this, that if we believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord and confess with our mouths that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So if you'd like to place your trust in Christ and you want someone to talk about that with, or you want to share that with someone, come talk to us. We'd love to talk to you about it. If you want to join our church, you can come up and talk with us, and we'll have you fill out a little form. And here's the purpose of the local church, is that we are surrounding your family, and we're going to pour into your family, and you're going to pour into the local church. And as we grow closer to God, we're going to grow closer together. If you just want someone to pray with you, we would love to pray with you. There's no greater honor, I think, than going to God on behalf of someone else. And so if there's something heavy on your heart, if you just want to come pray by yourselves, if you want to pray there by yourselves, if you want someone to voice a prayer over you, please respond during this time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your grace that knows no measures. Lord, thank you for the ways that you have cared for us, the way that you have loved us, the way you've forgiven us. And Lord, since you have forgiven us so much, Would you help us forgive each other? Father, I pray during this time of invitation that this wouldn't just be a time where we only sing, but Lord, that you are wrestling with us and that we are thinking in our minds and thinking in our hearts, God, how is it you would have me to respond? Lord, I pray that if anyone is even tempted to respond, I pray that you'd give them the boldness and courage to do so. Lord, above all, we serve you and you alone because you are all in all, and we thank you for that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand, please, and sing with us. The altar is open for decisions to make to the Lord.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, wrapped into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence. Yeah.
worship the Lord here in this place, and what an honor it's been to have Philip and Carol here. In just a moment, we are going to conclude our service, but begin in church conference. So if you are a member, I highly encourage you to stick around. And if you are a visitor, I encourage you to stick around too. This won't take too long. Love to get a chance to talk with you and meet with you again. If you haven't filled out that first time visitor card, make sure you do that. It allows me to have the opportunity to connect with you, not on a Sunday. It's a little hard sometimes, and so I just hope that we'll have that opportunity. So I'm going to ask Brother John to close us out in prayer, and then we will begin our called church conference.
Let's pray. Father, you're good. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for your people. God, thank you for your wonderful, beautiful, perfect sacrifice, your son Jesus. God, I pray that you were honored and glorified, that the name of Jesus was lifted above every name. God, thank you so much for the fact that, God, the goodness of your gospel has given us the church, your people, brothers and sisters. Lord, would you just help us not just to sing praises and worship together, but God, also to walk and live out what you've called us to do together as your people and as brothers and sisters. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.